What does it mean to bring our whole selves into the world? To give ourselves the gift of unconditional acceptance? Join me as we learn together. I'm Jorgen Salvis, and this is Unshaming. Hey, this is Jor, and this is the season 2 finale of Unshaming. I cannot believe I'm saying that because it's been quite a long season. It's been a year-long season, but yes, the time has come. Season 2 is ending, and we'll be returning in the fall. So don't forget to keep up with us on Instagram and on TikTok at Unshaming so you don't miss any Unshaming in between now and the fall when we return. I really wanted this to be a special episode and reflective because the last year has been such a wild ride. And so while I usually do the interviewing, I was interviewed this episode by one of my really good friends. His name is Daniel Rodriguez, and he's a producer at NBC News in New York. And he's actually one of the first people that I ever told about Unshaming before I even came up with the name or knew the word, while it was still a concept in my brain. And so I thought it would be really full circle for him to actually have this conversation with me. I think what a lot of people don't know is that there were a lot of changes in my life going on behind the scenes during this season. I remember around the end of last year, I was feeling so restless and I just really needed some new inspiration. So I actually made the decision to quit my job, do the show full time, and I've been traveling through Mexico for the last 8 months doing the show completely remotely on the road. And this season kind of has that road spirit. Every single city I would go to, I would meet travelers from around the world, and I would listen to their stories about hope and loss and heartbreak and love, and I would get so inspired and want to explore those themes on the show. And so you might notice some of the themes throughout this season are really structured and clear, and at other times they're a little bit more abstract. But I think that's kind of how the Unshaming journey is. It's straightforward at times, and at other times, not so much. I have learned so much this last season and this last year through the life changes that I was going through the guests on the show, through the people I met on my trip, and really through this adventure. I learned about the different heartbreaks that we encounter in life and how people deal with those. Whether it's a lost relationship or a lost job during the pandemic, or a lost sense of self. I was actually going through a little heartbreak myself, so I was extra curious to know how people persevere through life's setbacks. As I reflect on this season and this year, I'm very thankful. I started Unshaming because I've always just wanted to tell stories. From the time I was a kid, I think people have always thought that I'm so nosy because I've always been the person to ask a lot of questions, but I'm just really curious, and the show was born out of that curiosity. I did not ever expect that it would touch so many of you in such beautiful and intimate ways, and I'm grateful for all of your letters that you've sent telling me what Unshaming means to you. I have always believed in the power of storytelling as a tool for healing. So thank you for your support. And as always, while you're listening, learning, and unshaming, I will be too. This is the Lessons of Adventure. Sebastian, are we recording? Okay, sound is good. All right, let's go for it. Yeah, ready.
Jordan, it's so good to be with you, and I'm so happy to be here and honored that you're having me speak to you today. First of all, how are you feeling today?
I am so excited to be here. It has been quite a year already. I've been backpacking for the last couple of months and living in Mexico, and it's just been so amazing. The last month, I've been just reconnecting with all my friends across
the great USA. So it's been amazing. I feel connected and I feel very present to be here. Thank you for this very special interview. Ending season two.
And Jordan, you're one of my close friends, so I'm so honored, and you're amazing, and the audience is really going to get to see that today.
Thank you.
So let's talk about your podcast. You've come such a long way. It's been amazing. I remember when you first told me that you were starting this, and I was like, I was so excited for you. I was like,
we're at a very dirty bar in New York City.
Dirty bar. It's like packed pre-COVID. A few drinks in. But I was so excited because I know how much of a wonderful person you are, and I thought what you were doing is really gonna make a powerful difference, and look at you now.
Thank you.
But let's start from the very beginning. What inspired you to start the podcast, and what were your goals?
It was really born out of my own story. So I grew up in Texas, immigrant family from India, and very Catholic, and gay. So when I came out to my family, I was 21 years old, and the only reason I did do that was because I was in a relationship. I didn't even have the bravery to do that on my own and just say I'm gay. And when I came out to my parents, they had a hard time with that. And I remember there was a moment, I had gone to India after coming out to my family, like a month after or so, and I hadn't really been since I was a kid, and I remember this particular moment. I was sitting across from my cousin, and I told him, I'm gay, I want you to know that, and I remember him saying to me, I'm really happy for you, Jordan, but I'm not so sure India will be. And I remember in that moment, I was like, I have carried this shame on my shoulders my entire life, and it was never mine to begin with. It was never my shame. It was society's shame. It was my parents' shame. It was my family's shame. It was my religion's shame. And I always thought it was mine when it never really was. And so the show, Unshaming, is about all of the marvelous stories that are about that same revelation.
And you've done so much since you first started, and you've had quite a bit of amazing individuals come on your show and talk about very intimate details of their lives. What are you most proud of?
I think I am most proud of listeners feeling as though they have a space in the world where they are seen, mm-hmm. and where they are heard for where they are currently. Because that's really what Unshaming is about. It's about understanding that it's the isolation that kills us. It's the pain of thinking that we are alone in whatever we're going through, in whatever identity we carry, in whatever struggle we are carrying on our back. And as I hear feedback from unshamers across the world who tell me what they're unshaming, I'm realizing that this is something that's really resonating with people. This is something that people are feeling as though they have a space to finally explore. And that's what I'm most proud of.
Going back to the very beginning, between season one and season two, your show really blew up. People have started to really know more about Unshaming. Tell me about that experience. What was it like going from season one to season two? And what were some of the challenges that you maybe encountered or you weren't really expecting?
I remember there was one moment when we got the promo for Apple Podcasts, and it was amazing. This was the first time that anyone even really fucking knew my name or or the show or anything like that. And it was incredible. And I wasn't prepared for, I think, the people who would be a bit more critical of the idea. This is kind of a controversial show. I mean, we're talking about HIV status, we're talking about sex work, we're talking about abortion, we're talking about being medicated for mental illness. These are stories that people have not only been silent about, but stories that people have tried to silence for generations. And the fact that the show is giving a platform to all of these stories, I think, really does piss a lot of people off. And I wasn't prepared, I think, for some of that feedback. I remember there was a moment when I had woken up one day. It was in the midst of the Apple thing, and they had given the show this giant banner. As soon as you click on Apple Podcasts, there was the show right there. And I remember being in my bed in New York and thinking I just woke up and I was like, I don't think that I want this. This is a lot of attention, a lot of publicity that I'm not really prepared for. And I always say everything in life is sort of a lesson. And that was a moment for me where I had to return to what the show was even about. And really, the show is not about me. It doesn't even matter what people say about me, because I'm not here to be famous. I'm here to tell stories. And that is really what Unshaming is about. And I had to return to that. And so I think what I learned from the challenge is that I always have to return to the original purpose.
What has been the most amazing part of this whole thing for you?
The most amazing part of this has been a couple. There are a couple of different amazing things. I think one amazing thing has been the community of Unshamers that I never even dreamed of being a part of and creating. So that's been amazing. I think the other amazing part of this whole experience has been what I've learned, which has through, I didn't mention this, but I think it's probably important. I actually quit my job in January to do the show full time. I was working in corporate America for 4 years and it was god awful, but I mean, I learned a lot from it. And I remember one of my coworkers was taking like a public speaking class or something. And she had asked me, do you have any videos of you doing any public speaking? I was actually the commencement speaker at my graduation. I gave the address to my, the student address. And so I had kind of forgotten about it for a while. And basically the whole point of the speech was like, do what you believe makes you happy amidst what everyone else wants you to do in order to make them happy. And I'd forgotten about it. So I was like, oh yeah, I have this speech. Like, you should listen to it. She listens to it. And then the next day she's like, what the fuck are you still doing here? you know, so that was for me, the sign for me to get out of there and to do what I always knew, what I wanted to, which was to tell stories. That is truly the only thing that I feel like I was born to do.
Were you scared to like leave what you basically only really knew after graduating? Were you scared to leave corporate America, which is what most people or a lot of people do after they graduate, to do what you really wanted to do and not knowing if you would be successful or if you would have challenges that came up?
Well, I think the lesson I learned was that your intuition always knows the truth. Deep in my soul, I knew that this was what I wanted to do. And so when you asked what was the most amazing thing about this, I think the most amazing thing was getting back in touch with that intuition, because so many of us, myself included, we lose that sense of intuition, that gut feeling that people always talk about. I remember, you know, when I was working in corporate America, I was like, I don't even know what that sounds like. I don't even know what my gut feeling sounds like or what it means to listen to my heart, because my whole life, I've just done what other people have told me to do and done what other people want me to do. And so I think following my intuition, getting back in touch with that gut feeling deep in my soul has been the most amazing and rewarding process.
And since then, you know, since 2020, March 2020, it's been a year for everyone. Alin, a lot happened with you, not just professionally, but personally. Talk about that.
So I decided to move to Mexico to achieve another one of my dreams, which is to be bilingual in Spanish. Ooh. And so I moved in January and was living in Mexico for about 6 months, and all of the show was remote at that point. And I learned so much from that experience, because I didn't know anyone when I moved there and I didn't speak the language totally fluently. So it really, really, really forced me to completely be out of my comfort zone in a way that I think a lot of things that I had worked through kind of like resurfaced. And, you know, suddenly when you are thrust into an environment where you don't really know anything or anyone, you're forced with confronting a lot of the pain and regret and failure that otherwise you can distract yourself mm-hmm. from in when you're in your comfort zone, right? So I think a huge learning from that trip was that life is about learning, unlearning, and relearning. And I saw that on We the Urban. That's like an Instagram account I follow. But I you know, I realized that is so true. And that's really what that trip was for me.
Yeah. Well, I want to say, like, your pics look amazing and it looked like an incredible trip. What was, you know, how would you describe your trip overall?
I think it's really interesting that you just said your pictures looked really great, because I think that's one thing I want to talk about that has kind of been a theme of Unshaming throughout season one and two, which is the idea of perfectionism as it pertains to social media, particularly yeah. for our generation. That's a huge aspect of shame, is the idea that we have to live up to this ideal of perfection.
Totally.
And who we are innately is not perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's where the shame comes from, when we feel like we can't live up to an ideal that society has created for us. So yeah, the pictures were amazing. The trip was amazing to some extent. But I think what people don't understand is that behind some of those photos and some of those memories was a lot of loneliness, a lot of introspection, a lot of sadness in some ways. You know, when you go on a journey of healing, you inevitably have to let go of parts of yourself and people who are not going to continue on that healing journey. And that entails so much grief. And I think in society, at least what I learned, especially from this trip, so many of us will do anything to avoid grief.
Yeah.
So many of us will do anything to avoid the pain of loss mm-hmm. and the pain of failure and the pain of regret, that we will turn to alcohol, we'll turn to drugs, we'll turn to sex, we'll jump from one relationship to the next. And, you know, one of the most amazing parts of this trip, I did a solo trip. I basically got to do Unshaming without the microphones on the trip. I just got a chance to talk to the most amazing people and listen to their stories. And that was something that I really, really learned from all of my conversations, is that loss and sorrow is something that all of us endure. It's a part of life that mm-hmm. we cannot avoid. And when we avoid that inevitable part of life, which is kind of what social media teaches us to do, we inherently ignore the greatest part of life, which is learning from those mm-hmm. those moments and understanding what they're there to teach us.
Mm-hmm. When you were in Mexico, did you feel like you had to, you know, post a picture a certain way or let everyone know that you were having the best time of your life in Mexico without people knowing what you were really going through? And were you scared to look a certain way when you were there, like on social media, in terms of your presence?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I think to a certain extent, no. I mean, I think I'm 25 now. I feel like I am kind of over that point in my life where I'm doing things for other people on social media, but at the same time I'm a human being, and I feel like it is always in the back of my mind. I think all of us inevitably think to ourselves, in even in a subconscious way, what is so-and-so going to think when I post mm-hmm. this, or oh, I just want to seem so cool, or I don't want people to really know everything that I'm experiencing. I posted a photo on Instagram and was talking about grief, and someone said, oh, don't be sad. And you know what I learned from that was that people are so uncomfortable with grief and sadness, they will go so far as to tell you not to go on your process of grieving.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You're right. I think people are so afraid to confront pain and suffering, or to, you know, there may be suppressed feelings or suppressed emotions that they may have not really come to terms with, and they'll do anything to avoid it. Why do you think that is?
I don't think we're equipped with the tools as a society to really deal with that. Mm-hmm. I think we're only equipped with the tools to celebrate, but we're not really equipped with the tools to grieve. And I think sometimes you'll see people grieving with celebration tools, and I'll tell you what that means. I think a lot of times you'll see very sad people in nightclubs at all hours of the morning doing drugs and alcohol. That was a huge part of my trip, was being with a lot of people who were experiencing addiction that were honestly really sad. And it helped me to realize that, you know, as a society, like, we don't really equip people with the tools to unpack their trauma. And ultimately, you know, something I've learned from Unshaming is, like, we are all just people walking around with trauma, some of it unresolved, some of it resolved. And if, when it goes sort of unresolved for a while, I think that's when it gets kind of dangerous, because, you know, it can be turned into, like, things that maybe aren't the best coping mechanisms.
And you know what's interesting? You said something that really hit me was people use celebratory things to deal with grief. And that kind of goes with social media. People turn to social media to, you know, I've been off social media. I mean, it's because I've been off social media for almost a year now, and especially Instagram, because I just felt like it was so toxic. And
how has that felt for you? For a year to be off?
It has been so amazing, and I didn't even realize how addicted I was to it. I was so...
Until you weren't on it.
Until anymore. I was on it, and I had to really be honest with myself. I was like, this is not... I couldn't figure out what it was, but I wanted people to perceive me in a certain way. Like, I was this young gay man in New York City, living a news producer life, working at an amazing organization, but going out to the club, having these cute brunches. And I, like, wanted people to see that. I wanted people to know that I was this young gay man living this life.
That was the image of perfection.
That was the image of holding yourself. Exactly. That was the image that I wanted people to see. And when you said that, you're right. I turned to social media to tell people that I was okay, when deep down, not that I wasn't happy, but I wanted people to perceive me a certain way, because I felt like I wasn't good enough. I felt like I wasn't good enough to be in the gay community. I felt like I wasn't good looking enough. And so
deserving or worthy.
Yeah. And right. So I turned to social media, and you're right. I didn't want to confront myself and be okay with who I was, just being authentic. I wanted to pretend I was a certain way.
You were looking for your validation to come from the gaze of other people, yes, as opposed to from within you.
Because I thought who I was individually wasn't good enough.
I totally get that. And we've all been there.
It's hard. We want to put on this facade that we're a certain way. But when you start to accept things, I realize there's a sense of peace, or there's a sense of accepting. Absolutely. And a sense of knowing that everything is going to start being okay.
Yeah. It's funny that you said a couple things there. Peace.
Yes.
That is what we all need to be striving for. Inner peace is the number one priority.
100%.
In my opinion. Yeah.
You know what my mantra is this year? It's choose the path of joy and peace.
I heard this really interesting quote. If it's not adding, it's subtracting.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. If you're around toxic things, whether it's a job, a boss, a person, a friendship, or a significant other, you're going to be miserable because they're not adding value to your life. You know what the hardest thing is accepting and being really authentic and saying to yourself, is this person, is this situation, is this relationship, is this job serving me?
And contributing to the best version of myself. Exactly.
What's the most rewarding aspect of everything you've gone through in the last year, Jordan?
So many. But I think ultimately it has been that I've learned that we're all just looking to feel connected to something. We're all just looking to feel a sense of belonging and a sense of community. And I think understanding that has been kind of relieving for me in a lot of ways. We don't have to go on this journey by ourselves or go at it alone. And in fact, we're not meant to be at it alone. We're meant to be connected with others. We're meant to feel a really deep sense of grounding to the people around us.
So since you've started the podcast, I know you've done a lot. You've had amazing guests, and you've really, you know, your podcast has really taken off. But I'm sure with that comes, you know, challenges that may arise that you weren't expecting. How do you keep going? Like, how do you, what inspires you to keep pushing through and telling people stories?
There is a deep burning question in my soul. And it's always been there since I was a child. And that question is, what gives people significance in life? And that is ultimately what Unshaming is about. It's about all of the incredible answers to that question. What gives people significance? And ultimately, I think that's what all of us are looking to understand about ourselves, is what gives me significance about being here? What makes me matter? What gives me a sense of belonging? And to be able to listen to all of those answers, to be able to listen to what people have gone through in order to achieve that sense of significance, mm-hmm. that is ultimately my life's work and my purpose.
How do you think people can find or realize what their purpose is? Like, for you, was it just like a gut feeling? Did you have to be super honest with yourself and say, this is not what I'm meant to do. I need to do this because it just feels right. How do you find out what your calling is?
It's such an interesting question because I think so many of us have lost touch with what even is your gut feeling? What even is your intuition? What does it even sound like? And I mentioned this a little bit at the beginning, but we're so ingrained in a culture that wants us to do what it wants us to do so it benefits it instead of us. Yeah. So many of us have lived our lives in that way, yeah. including myself. And so I think understanding, going back to what does that intuition even sound like? Yeah. And the fact that, you know, I think personally how we get there is we listen to our feelings. Mm-hmm. Our feelings are information.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I think that's what's going to guide us to where we truly need to be.
Yeah, like we said, it's your compass. It knows what's right or wrong, and
exactly
it leads you into the right thing. But it also too, I think the hardest part about listening to yourself is taking that step, because you can listen to it and be like, it's easier for me to just stick with things, even though I know it's not right for me, than to actually acknowledge it, accept it, and change things.
Right.
You know. So how, like for you, like, was it difficult to change your life and decide to do all these things, to make the podcast, to move to Mexico?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because I think even though I've always had a gut feeling about what I need to do, there's always the shame and guilt.
Yes, that's
associated of what other people want you to do and who they want you to be. You know, and that doesn't go away. And I think I get so inspired, as much as I'm the host of the show, I'm very much a listener. So for everyone who comes on the show and talks about how they have persevered and ultimately become the person that they were always destined to be, because they've listened to who they are in spite of what everyone else wants them to be, that's really my inspiration. And what keeps me going is, you know, hosting this show has honestly been the most amazing gift of my life, to be able to listen to what gives people significance, what gives people their purpose, what people think makes them matter in the world. Mm-hmm. It's amazing for me.
And you've had amazing guests who have really shared the most intimate details of their life, who have really, you know, I've listened to quite a few of them, and I've been just so inspired, and just so I just really admire them for their bravery to tell their story. And I know for a fact that you telling their story is helping so many people. What do you have to say to all the guests who have been on your show?
I would first actually say that, you know, hopefully we get to a point in society where it's not brave to tell your story, where it's just sort of matter of fact, where it's just, this is my truth, and it's not good or bad, it just is what it is. Hopefully we get to a point where shame is such an afterthought that we can just tell our stories without having to be brave. What I would say to all of my guests is thank you. thank you for trusting me to tell your story. Thank you for trusting me to tell the most intimate details of your life, the most raw details of your life. I treasure that, and I think it's a gift, and I'm grateful for it.
When I hear these stories, and I feel like there's always a kind of a main theme, and it's like acceptance and, going back to what we said earlier, peace. What do you think we're all looking for in life? Is it peace? Is it acceptance or belonging? What do you think we're most looking for?
I think all of us are just looking to know that we matter. Yeah. I think all of us are just looking for that sense of belonging, that sense of community, that sense of being seen and being heard for who we truly are. Mm-hmm. We're all just looking to know that we matter, mm-hmm. and that we're important.
And you know what's interesting about that too is I've learned too that when you are your most authentic self, not who you think others people yes. want you to be, you genuinely attract the most amazing people who love you for you.
Yes.
And it's like, it's so, I think that feeling is when you're comfortable in your own skin, when you let go of the shame of what you think people think you should be or how you should act or what you should wear. And if you just are like, you know, this is who I am, I've realized that people are drawn to your energy because exactly. you're confident.
And the right people who accept you for who you are.
Exactly.
When you let go of the perception of what you think people want you to be and you step into who you actually are, that's unshaming.
Yeah. So, your podcast, this is just the beginning, Jordan. I'm so excited to see what the future holds for you, and I know you're going to continue to inspire so many people and really make a difference and tell amazing stories. What's next? What do you hope to accomplish in the future? And what are you most excited for?
I am honestly just so excited to keep iterating on this concept and, you know, to keep hearing from listeners about what they're excited about and what they're unshaming and what they have unshamed, what they're going to unshame. When I started the podcast and I created this word unshaming, I honestly, it's crazy to me that people are actually like using that word as they describe their own stories in a super matter of fact way, like not even with quotations around it or anything. And so, to be honest, I feel like the show has already surpassed anything that I could have even thought of or dreamed of. And at this point, I'm just so happy with kind of where we are. I'm so excited to keep iterating on it and learning new things and presenting stories in all new ways. You know, eventually like getting into seeing, like, you know, we hear what unshaming sounds like, but what does it look like? That's something that I think I've really been thinking about. And I don't know the answer to that as yet, but that's part of the journey.
Yeah.
And that's part of what's so exciting about this topic and about telling stories is that it's a never-ending way of how we can do that. And that's ultimately what my calling is and what I'm just so excited to continue doing is just telling the stories of people, highlighting the silenced voices of society. That's my dream. And in a lot of ways, I'm already living it.
Warren, it's the best is yet to come. 100%. I cannot wait to see what you see the next year and even further, because I know great things. And like when I genuinely mean this when I say this, like your future is so bright and I know you're going to help so many people and I'm so excited for you.
Well, thank you so much.
I'm Jorgen Salvis and you've been listening to Unshaming. For more information about anyone featured on the show, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Unshaming or visit unshamingpodcast.com. If you loved this episode, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We love hearing from you. So if you have questions or want to tell us what you're unshaming, DM us on Instagram or email us at unshamingpodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to Mirzi for generously providing her original music. You can find her wherever you stream. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.